each day in our practice, each Sunday here at Wildflower Zendo, we recite the Heart Sutra. Maha Prajna Paramita Hridaya Sutra. This Dharani, this sutra, is a very much abbreviated sutra. It is the heart, the core of the teaching of Zen Buddhism. It really is the quintessence of Zen. Initially, the sutra was brought from India into China. The title Maha Prajna Paramita Hridaya Sutra is the Sanskrit terms, Maha meaning great, Prajna meaning wisdom, Paramita meaning transcendent, Hridaya meaning heart, and sutra meaning thread. So we have great transcendent wisdom, heart, thread of sanity, or thread of truth. The sutras are passed down to us through the 2,500 some odd year history of the tradition. Many of the sutras that came particularly from Ananda begin with the words, thus have I heard, meaning this is something that was related to me. This is something that I heard. If it is of value, then that's fine. If not, that's okay too. The sutras do not begin with the words, this is the way it is. They are left open, and they are documents that are presented to us for our examination and our testing. It is our responsibility to make use of them or not, and it is totally up to us what we do with them. The Heart Sutra begins by speaking of the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara, doing deep prajna paramita, doing the practice of transcendent wisdom, doing this zazen practice, that which we gather here to do, to embody together. In many zendos and in many schools, the act of coming all together in a zendo for practice is sometimes referred to as being alone together. In other words, each one of us is practicing very much alone, but in community, in sangha with others around us. So we're supporting each other in our practice of being alone together. Doing deep Prajna Paramita, doing deep zazen, clearly saw that the five skandhas are shunyata. The term skanda literally is translated as heap or pile or aggregate. The skandhas are the five factors, the five elements that compose the personality. And if you go to the Buddhist texts, the teachings, there are a myriad of expositions describing each aspect of these five individual elements that make up what we know as our personality: form, feeling, thought, perception, consciousness. Clearly saw that the five skandhas, the five elements that make up personality, are shunyata. In the text, it's spelled sun, S-U-N-Y-A-T-A, but it is pronounced shunyata. Initially, the text was transmitted to China in the Sanskrit form, and what happened was the Chinese began memorizing it in its original form in Sanskrit, and they tended to transliterate the Sanskrit because it really had no meaning to them. They didn't understand the words, but they transliterated it into Chinese syllables that they were familiar with the pronunciation of, and it wound up being a sort of transliterated document that didn't really hold meaning within the language, but was an approximation of the original Sanskrit. And likewise, when the Japanese monks came to China and some of the Chinese monks came to Japan, they brought with them this transliterated sutra, which again went through another cycle of being transliterated even further into Japanese. So we wound up with sort of a Sino-Japanese version of the original Sanskrit. So when somebody chants the Heart Sutra in Japan, what they chant is Makka Hanya Haramita Shin Gyo, Kanji Zai Bosa Gyo Jin Hanya Haramita, Jisho Kengo Ankai Kudo Isai Ku Yakusha. Now these words in Japanese really don't mean anything, but they are just the sounds of the original Sanskrit brought into Chinese and again brought into Japanese. So the words may not mean anything, but the chant is still performed and has been for centuries. In most temples in the United States, we still learn, we memorize the Heart Sutra in Japanese, and this is done, or rather not Japanese, but Sino-Japanese. This is done in order to maintain a common thread with those temples in the Orient that still use this chant. So if we go over to Japan, what we memorize here in the Sino-Japanese version of the Heart Sutra will be chanted precisely in that manner in Japan, and it'll even be recognizable in China. The term shunyata is a very, very difficult term to translate. In the sutra book, the translation that is provided here is as follows. Voidness, emptiness, as-isness. In the English language, void and empty have negative, even nihilistic implications, and as-isness may sound fatalistic. The original term shunyata has no negative, nihilistic, or fatalistic implication, but rather positively points to each fact as fact. All composite things appear according to the combination of various conditions, and these conditions change moment after moment. Consequently, appearances change. Thus, each composite thing has no specific entity of its own, hence voidness or emptiness. Yet at each moment, all things are just as they are and cannot be otherwise, hence as isness. So shunyata, to say that it is emptiness, although that is perhaps the easiest translation, that requires some direct experiential knowledge with Zazen practice in order to be properly and fully understood. Doing deep prajnaparamita clearly saw that the five skandhas are shunyata, thus transcending misfortune and suffering. So seeing clearly that the personality is fundamentally empty enables one to transcend misfortune and suffering, in that when the self nature is seen clearly, there is no place for misfortune and suffering. It is simply part of the scenery. There's really no hook or peg that misfortune and suffering can be hung upon, because there's no separate individuality there to experience or feel or sense misfortune and suffering. Form is no other than shunyata. In other words, solidity is in reality emptiness. And then it goes on, shunyata is no other than form. And this is very much telling us that appearances are at times deceiving, that what appears to be solid is in fact empty, and what appears to be empty is in fact solid, and both are quite changeable and interchangeable. Form is exactly shunyata. Shunyata is exactly form. So emptiness is very much a part of everything that appears to be form, and form is a part of everything that appears to be emptiness. And this is a situation that is dealing with our perception of reality, of how we actually see reality. It goes on to say, form, feeling, thought, volition, and consciousness are likewise like this. This was said earlier, in that we said the five skandhas are shunyata, and here it's actually listing them. Form, feeling, thought, volition, and consciousness, these are the five skandhas. And again, we're saying these are fundamentally shunyata, fundamentally empty. It goes on to say, remember Dharma, the truth, these teachings are fundamentally empty. No birth, no death, nothing is defiled, nothing is pure, nothing can increase, nothing can decrease. All things are fundamentally empty. In this fundamental emptiness, There's no form, no feeling, no thought, no volition, no consciousness, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no seeing, no hearing, no smelling, no tasting, no touching, no thinking, no world of sight, no world of consciousness, no ignorance, no end to ignorance, no old age and death, no end to old age and death, no suffering, no craving, no extinction, no path, no wisdom, no attainment. Indeed, there is nothing to be attained. All is fundamentally shunyata, fundamental emptiness. The bodhisattva, that is, he who has committed to walking on the path of the awakened state of mind, relies on transcendent wisdom with no hindrance in the mind. No longer are there any questions, no longer are there any impediments in the mind. The mind is totally free, totally open, and totally accepting of the fundamental emptiness that is the underlying basis of reality. No hindrance, therefore no fear. Far beyond upside down views, at last nirvana. Fear, hope, both of these are future based projections. We hope for the best, we fear for the worst, and they're always based in the future. I'm afraid of something. It's not right now, but I'm afraid of something that's coming. I'm afraid of something that could happen. I hope for something to happen. It's never dealing with the actual moment. We don't hope for the present. The present is simply present. Hope and fear always have to do with something that happens in the future. Far beyond upside down views, far beyond neurotic perceptions, far beyond views that refuse to see things clearly. At last nirvana. Nirvana is a very tricky word. It has often been interpreted as a heavenly state, and this is due to the background of those who translate the term into the English language. And a lot of it has to do with the original contacts that were made with Buddhism, in particular through the Portuguese Jesuits who contacted Buddhism in Japan. They did study it somewhat, but they did not get a complete picture. So they took terms like nirvana or nibbana, and they made the correlation with the Christian teachings and assumed that this meant something called heaven. Indeed, it does not. Nirvana is essentially a state of mind, not a place that someone is going to go to in the future when they die. Past, present, and future, all Buddhas, all awakened beings, bodhisattvas, beings that are walking on the path of awakening, rely on transcendent wisdom, and therefore reach the most supreme enlightenment. Therefore know, transcendent wisdom is the greatest dharani, the brightest dharani, the incomparable dharani. Now, dharani, I believe they don't translate dharani here. Dharani is a a verse, essentially an abbreviated sutra, a text which at one point was supposedly spoken by the Buddha and recorded by his students. And a Dharani is something that is a very short text that has been usually condensed or abbreviated from one of the sutras, or involves a very small section thereof. It completely clears all suffering. Transcendent wisdom, wisdom seeing beyond our neurotic views, completely clears all suffering. In seeing the fundamental empty nature of reality, all suffering is cleared. This does not imply that necessarily fundamental dissatisfaction or pain is wiped away. The true nature of suffering itself always involves the notion of ego, the notion of separate individuality, the notion of self being there as a subject for that suffering. Pain is simply pain. Suffering is pain with something else added on to it, our egoistic attachment to that pain. Completely clears all suffering. This is the truth, not a lie. So set forth the Prajnaparamita, set forth this Dharani of transcendent wisdom, and say, Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha, Heart Sutra. Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha, is the direct Sanskrit meaning gone, gone, gone beyond the idea of going beyond the awakened state of mind. And this is a verse that appears throughout the Buddhist traditions, Gate, Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisvaha. In many places it's chanted repetitively, and you've seen people using their malas, many of them may be doing that particular chant, that mantra. Gone, gone, beyond, gone beyond the idea of going beyond the awakened being, the awakened state of mind. If we translated it into the 1960 hippie terms, it would be out, out, further out, far out. This is what is being said here. So that is a very, very rudimentary rundown of our Heart Sutra, which we chant. But it does cover the very, very fundamental and quintessential points of our Zen practice here at Wildflower Zendo. Now, are there any questions? There's going to be a test, you know.
Great explanation.
Was it? Do I get paid now?
You passed the test.
Do I? Oh, wonderful. Can I get a certificate? Many times, I think it's good periodically to look at these things that we do as part of the practices, particularly as some of the chants that we do, because we may not really understand the depth of the meaning of them, and we don't want to be necessarily doing stuff that is just mindless repetition. Although we do want to have that, we should be working, everyone should be working on memorizing this material completely. It's not that much, but it does require practice. Any other commentary? Questions? Checks, money?